I'm still Eve Prang-Plues, and I'm still a licensed nutrition counselor, and it's still 2012. And I bet you that there's a bunch of you that thought I was going to do a show on New Year's resolutions. Well, I got news for you. It's going to be a little different today because it's not New Year's resolutions, it's New Year's revolutions. And the revolutions are about you protecting the future of your health and the future of the planet. Because as the information is gathered together about what's happening with genetically modified organisms, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid. And I remember one time I had a call in on WMNF, and the guy said, every time I listen to your show, I get scared of something. And I said, no, what you have to use, the very first thing that you have to use in order to make a change is awareness. We have to have awareness about what's going on in our community and in our world in order to make a change. Well, you know that I have campaigned for organic over and over again. Even if organic foods are not nutritionally superior to conventional foods, there are other benefits that exist. Fundamentally, reducing pesticide exposure. You know, when I look at the organic industry and I look how hot it is, it's about 4% of total groceries sold in the United States, headed for 5%. I think they'll probably cross 4.2% of all the groceries this year. But, you know, there's always this dialogue that goes on as to whether organic is really organic and whether, you know, there's a difference in terms of quality. And Tufts University original study, I think really a milestone study, demonstrated that organic food often does have nutritional superiority over conventionally grown food. But I think that there's something more than that. It's not so much what it has, but what it doesn't have. And so there is an area beyond nutrition. If you're just looking to buy organics to increase your phytochemicals, well, then you might just be able to buy bright colored foods and get plenty of phytochemicals. But when we look at the dramatic effect that happens with pesticides, especially in a developing body, especially in those young kids, even if the FDA assures us that pesticide residue on individual food samples are within safe limits, we don't know what the cumulative load is. You know, this is a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And when we look at the organophosphorus pesticides that especially affect children and pregnant and breastfeeding women and seniors, it really is quite remarkable. Over and over again, we see that list of strawberries, bell peppers, spinach, potatoes, peaches, nectarines, lettuce, grapes, cucumbers, celery, blueberries, and apples as the dirty dozen. The group of foods that consistently show the highest amount of pesticide residues. That dirty dozen, apples, blueberries, celery, cucumbers, grapes, lettuce, nectarines, peaches, potatoes, spinach, sweet bell peppers, and strawberries are ones that even if you don't buy anything else organic, you want to buy those organic. And then there's a list that the Environmental Working Group calls the Clean 15. And the Clean 15 are the group that very rarely has pesticide residues. And they include things like corn. But when we look at the nature of even the Clean 15, we have to be aware of the genetic organisms that have been modified in these foods. You know, Monsanto, Dow, Novartis, some of the big chem companies are the individuals that essentially want to own the seed business. And so the changing of our crops, manipulated by genetic engineering, is really frightening to me and has been frightening since the very beginning of it. The claim that the use of genetic engineering was going to reduce our pesticide consumption has not proved true. When Monsanto created Roundup Ready soybeans, meaning you had a soybean that could be sprayed with Roundup pesticide and not or herbicide, and it wouldn't kill the plant, Well, we've created 7 super weeds here in the United States, and every farmer with a brain is very concerned about what's going to happen with those super weeds, because we're going to have a super herbicide in order to kill them. Well, you know, if you look at Monsanto's track record, remember, these are the people that brought us DDT. And DDT was certainly a whoops. DDT was the poison that I was exposed to as a child growing up in what was at the time rural Florida in Pinellas County. The mosquito truck came down our dirt road, and every kid on the street just thought it was the very best thing to get on their bicycles and ride behind the mosquito truck. And the game I used to play with Donna Edwards and Penny Fisher and James Thomas and the kids that I grew up with was whoever coughs first loses. Well, what's true is we all lost. So Monsanto brought us DDT until we found out that it was killing the eagles. And it was only when we found out that it was causing the eggshells to be so thin that the eagle chicks could not be born and the symbol of our country was in danger of extinction was DDT removed from the marketplace. Monsanto brought us Agent Orange. They brought us Agent Orange, and 40 years later, Vietnam is still dealing with the birth defects that have come from exposure to that compound. Monsanto's brought us bovine growth hormone. It's brought us the chemicals that over 80% of the cows in the state of Florida are injected with every 2 weeks in order to force them to produce more milk. And when they produce more milk, they get infections in their teats. And as a result, these cows are given way more antibiotics than antibiotics are usually given to cows who are not given bovine growth hormones. And now Monsanto has brought us Roundup Ready soybeans and genetically engineered corn. And, you know, Monsanto is not the only one. We're going to put Dow in that list. We're going to put other companies in that list. But Monsanto is the giant that's there. And so as they moved into genetic engineering, there was a claim. And the claim was, we're going to use this to feed the world's hungry. But what everybody knows who follows food science is that we already have 150% of all the food that we need to feed everybody on the planet. The problem is we can't get it to them. Or their poverty is so great that there's no way that they can use it. Or they're affected by the droughts and the changes of government and the wars and the pestilence that keep people from getting the food that they so desperately need. When we realize 30,000 children die of hunger in the world every day, it should be our international shame. So when they began to talk about the fact that they were going to solve problems, they were going to genetically engineer rice with beta-carotene in it, and that beta-carotene was going to convert into vitamin A, and it was going to keep river blindness and other kinds of blindness from happening in children, especially all over sub-Saharan Africa. Only problem is, those people don't have the money to buy that rice. And they don't have the rainfall to grow it. So what's wrong with this picture? We repeatedly see that the logic that is put behind these pronouncements from big chemical companies, and big chemical companies are the mothers of big agriculture companies. Big chemical companies are the mothers of big pharmaceutical companies. And big chemical companies are the mothers of big food companies. Well, it's the big food companies I'm after today. Because last month when we had the election, one of the things that was on the board in California was Proposition 37. And Proposition 37 just had one activity to accomplish, and that was to label food that had genetically modified organisms in it. If there was any genetic engineering, it would be put on the label. Proposition 37 wasn't going to ban genetic engineering. Proposition 37 wasn't going to force people to not be able to have genetically engineered food. Availability wouldn't change one iota. The only thing that Proposition 37 asked for was labeling. Well, it had a huge momentum going. By the time we got to September, it really looked good that Proposition 37 was going to pass and we were going to have labeling for GMOs. And what would happen is because companies aren't going to make a product strictly for that market, the likelihood is it would happen all over the United States. And then in the last 2 months, a tremendous amount of money poured in for the evil empire. Companies whose dirty money confused and scared California voters into voting no on Proposition 37, they all showed up at the party. You know, some of these huge multinational food and beverage companies, their subsidiaries make billions of dollars selling your favorite organic and natural brands. You know, and I always put natural in quotes because a lot of individuals don't know the difference. They see natural on the label and they figure that it's good. So when we look at the hypocrisy and the greed that these companies expressed in pouring tens of millions of dollars, it is estimated that $45 million was spent on the campaign to keep California from voting on Proposition 37, and it worked. Proposition 37 lost. In the initial count, it lost 53-43%, and after all the absentee ballots were counted, it was 51-49. But you pour $45 million into advertising campaigns, especially nasty, lie-filled advertising campaigns, really dirty politics at its utmost, and you can scare the bejabbles out of the population of California into believing that it was actually going to cost them hundreds of dollars more a year in order to buy food. That's going to cost them thousands of dollars more in medical costs if we continue to expose ourselves to genetically modified organisms. And at the point that we are right now, it is highly unlikely that any single one of you in this listening audience has not consumed a genetically modified food in the last 24 hours. And I have to include myself in that list. Even being vigilant, even trying hard. So it's time to speak out publicly. It's time to not just look at New Year's resolutions. It's time to look at New Year's revolutions, because this may be a David versus Goliath battle. It may be a situation where you didn't expect to wake up this morning and think about radical change. You woke up this morning and thought about what you're going to wear to the New Year's Eve party here at WSLR. Why aren't we talking about climate-friendly food and farming and buildings and energy and transportation and jobs and education and foreign policy and elected officials all in the same breath? Why aren't we united? Why aren't we up in arms? Why aren't we maniacs working against these companies that are trying to destroy our health and the planet? Is there any way that we can bring together all of these activists into a single powerful movement before it's too late? You know, you and I do the same thing. We dutifully carry on our daily lives. You know, we're cleaning up from Christmas and putting stuff away and running the dishwasher and doing the laundry and paying the bills and doing the things just to keep ourselves trucking. And sometimes you think, I can't fight the bigger fights. We take care of our kids and our grandkids. We send a check off to try to save the whales or the bees or the farm animals. We may oppose the wars in theory, but we've never stood on the street to do so. We even try to elect decent candidates. We go out and support green commerce. Heck, I've got two hybrids in my driveway. Cost me $2,000 to bring in the gas into my house so that I wouldn't have an electric stove anymore. Every little teeny step that we make, every time we try to make an effort, we feel like we're doing something, and yet we're losing ground. Despite our heroic efforts, the New World Order is shaping up, and it's downright scary. You know, this business as usual practice of these ruthless corporations is totally hell-bent on disaster. And you, a justice-minded citizen, an environmental-minded citizen, you might have been stymied. Well, it's time for us to all hold hands. It's time for a 21st century green manifesto. It's time for progressive change to advance. This pace of transformation, it's too little, it's too late. You know, I was frosted when Obama went back on his promise to label GMOs. I was frosted when I found out that companies that I respected, companies like Whole Foods, that I thought were an honorable company, that I found out that they had the same kind of greed mentality as everybody else. Whole Foods and Trader Joe's never put a dime in the bucket to try to get GMOs to be labeled. And the reason is because the investigations show that 30% of the food in Whole Foods has got genetically modified organisms in it. Well, when you look at their chief executive officer, John Mackey, and find out that he was posting on the Wild Oats, you know, Wild Oats is a competitor, and Whole Foods has tried to buy Wild Oats. But what's true is that that whole episode has been blocked, not because of the incident that happened, but because of creating a conglomerate. But what John Mackey did is he posted anonymously under his a pseudonym of his wife's name, comments about Wild Oats, even though they were trying to, Whole Foods was trying to acquire Wild Oats. It appeared that John Mackey was attempting to drive down Wild Oats stock in advance of the acquisition. You know, is this bad ethics? You know, he may live a vegan lifestyle, fits right in with the Whole Foods concept, but it looks like he was just a good old boy from Texas having some fun. He let success go to his head. The idea that Whole Foods is a good corporate citizen? Ha! Not hardly. And they have made sure that a good number of their staff believe the same thing, that Whole Foods doesn't contain items in their grocery store that have genetic engineering. Why am I so worried about it? Because there's not a single human study that's ever been done. Are there benefits? We don't know. But what are the benefits versus the risk? DDT worked great, did exactly what it was supposed to do. Kill bugs. Agent Orange, it worked great, did exactly what it was supposed to do. It defoliated trees. Just because something works doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you or good for the planet. You know, when you change the information that gets to your cells, every plate of food you eat is a plate of information. Every bite that goes into your mouth is a letter to your cells, a letter to your genes, telling them how to behave, how to upregulate and downregulate. And when you change the information that is delivered to your cells, you change the way the cells work. So I don't know if genetic engineering is fine. Genetic engineering may be absolutely fine, but I don't know that, because there's not a single human study. And I have a tendency to look at the precautionary principle. If in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. So this morning I had my papaya. My papaya came off my own tree. I had my organic strawberries. I had my pineapple, which very rarely has pesticides. I had my organic Greek yogurt. And I made sure that my organic Greek yogurt was not coming from a company that supported killing Proposition 37. You don't want any Cascadian Farms, General Mills stuff sitting on your shelf, because they're a member of the evil empire now. You know, companies that you have come to trust, everything from Boca Burgers to Ben & Jerry's, Everything from Morningstar Farms to Muir Glen, Naked Juice, Odwalla, Silk, Horizon Organic, Honest Tea, Dagoba's Chocolate, Kashi. Another part of the evil empire. Oh yeah, we think it's really good. We think it's organic. Find organic on the label somewhere. It doesn't exist. All the Kashi products that were tested showed the presence of genetically modified organisms. White Wave and Tostitos Organic, Knudsen, Orville Redenbacher's Organic, Odwalla. When we look at Bare Naked, when we look at Laura Bars, when we look at Hunt's Organic, all of them, all of these companies supported the defeat of Proposition 37. All of these companies do not want you to know that GMOs are already in their foods. So what are you going to do about it? Some of you will throw up your hands and say, well, you can't be afraid of anything, everything. We're all going to die anyway, you know, nothing we can do. And there are some of you that really do believe that December the 21st, 2012 was a milestone day. And it wasn't a milestone day because somebody misread a Mayan calendar. It was a milestone day because people are starting to see the future revealed. See the future revealed in a way that we realize that it's dependent on the choices humanity makes. You know, humanity has the priceless gift of free will. We do not live in a fated universe. We may want to know what the future is. We may want to read the childish horoscopes in the paper or go to the fortune tellers at the fair. But what's really true as humanity is that we make the right choice or we pay the price, sometimes a dire price for the mistakes that we make. I truly am an optimist. I truly believe that eventually humanity will fully express the abundance of life. But the progress toward this goal depends on you. I want to help to counter the voices that only see gloom for the future. I don't want to be a victim of calamitous fate. The whole reason that I volunteer in the community, whether I'm doing this radio show or the one at WMNF or I'm writing a column or I'm speaking to the nurses group in Tampa on Friday, running my HIV support group next Tuesday, the whole reason that I do those things is because I believe my actions can materialize a different world. You know, we're overwhelmed by the disasters in the news. Every day there's another scandal. Every day there's another tragedy. We forget that the news industry thrives on the negative. We got to find the positive in it. But for a whole lot of people, and I know a whole lot of people that listen to community radio, are individuals that realize that the more that you think about it, the more that you know about it, the harder it is to make yourself separate from everybody else on this planet. And the signs are there that this change is percolating into the consciousness of humanity. In part, it's because women are becoming educated and empowered on a mass scale. Look what's happening in India now with the tragic death of that young woman who was brutalized and killed. Her martyrdom for the women's movement, and not just for the women's movement to control their fertility, for the women's movement to say that violence will not be tolerated. This has happened on a scale that the world has never known before. When we begin to look at these changes happening, we have to realize that the bloody history of the 20th century, the daily reports of carnage, it's actually less. Yes, the horrible tragedy in Newtown happened. Again, a group of children that are martyred, and martyred in such a way that they will create changes in gun control in the future. Mark my words. We need to realize that something went right. that there's way less violence and carnage. New York had the lowest homicide rate that it's ever had. On November the 26th, for the first time in the history of New York City, in all five of the boroughs, not a single gunshot, not a single murder, not a single knife fight, not a single assault. Never happened before. Something's changing. Something's going right. Something is truly percolating into the consciousness of humanity to look out for each other. There's a path of right values, right choice, and right action. And one of the few places that we can express that with these multinational companies that seem hell-bent on killing all of us, and it all seems kind of stupid to me, because why would you want to hurt your consumer? Well, it's because then I can take them out of Big Food and send them over to Big Pharma. Well, I think it's time to get even. Pepsi-Cola, and we know them as a noble company, Pepsi-Cola donated $2.5 million to defeat Proposition 37. Well, you say, well, Eve, you know, I don't drink Coca-Cola. I don't use Pepsi-Cola, but Tropicana Organic is owned by Pepsi-Cola, and Honest Tea is owned by Coca-Cola. Odwalla is owned by Coca-Cola. So you don't think of that. You pick up that package at the Whole Foods or one of the other health food stores, and you think you're doing a good job because it says organic or it says natural, and you don't know that Hershey's bought out Dagoba and Kellogg's bought out Garden Burger and Unilever bought out Ben & Jerry's. And Kellogg's owns Bear Naked and Morningstar Farms. Kashi is owned by Kellogg's. We don't know that Dean Foods, not a name that rolls off our tongue, that they bought Horizon Organic, that they bought White Wave, that they bought Silk. Dean Foods was another contributor. And so when we look at these millions of dollars, Kraft donated $2 million. Safeway donated $2 million. When you talk about companies that are donating $1 million and more dollars to defeat a labeling act, all you had to do was put GMO on the label. You know why? Because they knew people would stop buying it. They knew that what would happen was exactly the same thing that happened in Europe. Europe banned GMOs 10 years ago. Why do they have a brain and we don't have a brain? You can't put genetically modified foods into food that's sold anywhere in the European Union. So why do you think companies would spend that kind of money? Why do you think Smucker's would put in $500,000? Or General Mills, $1.2 million. Muir Glen, Larabar, Cascadian Farm, ConAgra, $1.2 million. Coca-Cola, $1.7 million. Because of profits. Because it's going to be profitable to them to continue to use genetically modified organisms. We have 30%. Of all the farmland in the United States now that's been contaminated with genetically modified organisms. Because you might have an organic farm on one side of the street, and on the other side of the street is somebody that's using genetically modified organisms, and their pollen blows over onto your side of the street. Do you know that Monsanto can sue you for holding on to proprietary pollen? You know, I tip my hat to Bill Pfister over there at Jessica's Farm, directly across the street from the meadows, trying to maintain an organic growing environment when he's right next to a place that uses toxic chemicals. It's a real effort. It's a real commitment. We need to take our hat off to all of these farmers that are giving us good food. But there's only one language that these corporate giants understand, and that's lost profits and lower sales. And so I submit it's time for a New Year's revolution. I submit it's time for you to go up on the Organic Consumer Association website, oca.org, Organic Consumer Association, and print down the little wallet card that they have with the list of all of those companies that donated to defeat Proposition 37, that donated to defeat in a relentless, fraudulent campaign. It would have been one thing if they played fair, but they hardly did. When we look at the ballot guide, they put out a trickster Democratic Party voter guide. It was phony. They copied the ballot guide that the Democratic Party put out. And they distributed it all over California. So it made it look like it was a good thing to do to vote no on Proposition 37. They lied about newspaper endorsements. They lied about university affiliations. They lied about farmer support. They lied about GMOs safety. They said GMOs are perfectly safe. No one can vouch for the safety of genetically engineered food. The American Medical Association passed a new resolution this year asking for mandatory pre-market safety testing of GMOs. They're not tested. We only wanted to have them labeled. They lied about the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. They said that the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics has concluded that biotech foods are safe. They put that as a quote in their literature. That statement is false. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics never made that statement. And yet those lies were used to try to defeat Proposition 37. They used scientists for hire. They lied about the National Academy of Science. The National Academy of Science said GMOs are safe and there's no reason to label them. No, they didn't do that. They lied about the World Health Organization. They said that the World Health Organization said GMOs are safe and there's no reason to label them. But in fact, the World Health Organization quotes, "The need to examine the potential negative effects on human health of the consumption of food produced through genetic modification must be done." They lied about pesticides. They said that genetically engineered crops reduce pesticide use. But genetically engineered crops actually have increased pesticide use, especially of Monsanto's herbicide Roundup. 527 million pounds of Roundup were used on genetically engineered crops over the last 15 years. They lied about a ban on GMOs. They said that they're relabeled, they're going to be made with higher cost ingredients, but Proposition 37 didn't try to ban anything. Didn't confer any regulatory authority to ban anything. All it said was just put it on the label. They lied about soy milk versus cow milk. They said that dairy products, eggs, meat, and poultry are all exempt. No, they're not. All dairy products, egg, meat, poultry, fish, for that matter, will be labeled under Proposition 37. If and when genetically engineered animals are sold for public consumption. And speaking of genetically engineered animals, the apocalypse is here. The FDA has cleared the way for the monster salmon, the genetically engineered salmon. The FDA has gone further in their approval of Aqua Advantages salmon. You know, these are salmon that develop at twice the usual speed of salmon. They eat five times as much and actually are more aggressive, according to some of the statements that came out of the FDA report. The fish was invented. Now, what's wrong with that statement? The fish was invented. Invented? We're not supposed to be inventing animals. And by the way, the FDA has overlooked the fact that half of these fish have jaw defects. So does that mean if I eat this genetically engineered salmon, I'm going to end up with a jaw defect? I don't know, because it isn't tested. And because Proposition 37 failed, it isn't going to be labeled. So when you go into the store and you buy a fish fillet, you're not going to know whether it's a genetically engineered salmon or not if Aqua Advantage gets its way and this stuff comes to the market. Fish with jaw erosion. And what are we going to do with a whole lot of dead fish that have been genetically engineered? Cover them with plastic? Gee, are you hungry yet? You hear my alarm. You hear my alarm that the tricksters are pulling dirty tricks. You thought it was over with the November election, didn't you? Ha! What you're finding out is the biggest lies are the lies to the taxpayers. When these fraudulent corporate advertising positions said that Proposition 37 would cost California taxpayers millions for bureaucracy and red tape, it wasn't true. Yes, there's going to have to be a few $100,000, maybe even $1 million spent. That was what the Legislative Analyst's Office estimated was the annual cost of enforcement to make sure that it was put on the labels. But just like Proposition 65, you know, Proposition 65 kept us from having all sorts of trace compounds in vitamins and food. And it created a ball rolling in terms of getting higher quality supplements and higher quality foods out there in the marketplace, because Proposition 65 prevented those things from showing up in food. But Proposition 37 really was something that looked out for your future. And when all of these companies got together and decided that their $45 million was going to outweigh the $3.5 million that was put in the campaign to vote yes on Prop 37, they crushed us. We don't have to be in California for that to happen. Because if it had passed in California, it would have happened everywhere. Now the campaign has gone to Oregon and Washington. Now is the opportunity to support the organizations in Oregon and Washington that are looking to label GMO foods. And the same sort of corporate agenda will move to Oregon and Washington. So the list of donors is the important list, because the list of donors, especially the ones that are the organic and natural brands, especially the companies like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's that turned their back on their consumers' desire to have pure food. When we look at those parent companies that donated millions to defeat Proposition 37, then you're going to know who the evil empire is. And if you go to the health food store to buy your New Year's goodies, and you're buying things from White Wave and Laura Bar and Cashie and Tropicana Organic and Tostitos Organic and Hunt's Organic and Horizon Organic and Silk and Knudsen and Orville Redenbacher's Organic and Honest Tea and Garden Burger and Odwalla and Naked Juice and Dagoba and Cascadian Farms and Muir Glen and Morningstar and Boca Burgers and Ben and Jerry and Light Life and Bare Naked and Alexia, then what you're doing is you're supporting the multinational corporations that are bringing us GMO food. You want to get even? Then stop buying their stuff. The only language they understand is lost profits and lower sales. It's time for us to get together. It's time for us to hold hands. It's time for us to create a force to make changes. That's why supporting organizations like Transition Sarasota is important. Connect the dots. Come together. Fight like crazy. Yeah, we still have to do the laundry and load the dishwasher and clean up stuff from Christmas. But every time you turn up the thermostat and turn down the gas pedal, every time you support a company that doesn't support defeating your own health, then you're supporting the future of the planet. You know, we got a flashing red light danger zone going on in terms of the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. We're at that magic 391 headed to 400. That's 41 parts per million higher than the level required to maintain civilization as humans know it. That catastrophic tipping point of 2 degrees Celsius and 450 parts per million of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gas pollution, that's what can melt the polar ice caps and the frozen tundra and burn up the world forests and kill the oceans and get rid of the coral reefs and set off massive crop failures. Yeah, that's pretty grim. But there's something you can do. And there's something that you can do every single solitary time you go to the store. And that is find out who your friends are. Who are the friends of your right to know? Who are the enemies of your right to know? We just want to be able to have a choice. Just as we've observed in Europe, where the labeling of food containing genetically modified organisms is mandatory, we fully expect that if given a choice, consumers will choose non-GMO products. That's why we have to fight. That GMO labeling in the European Union has been there for over a decade. And you know what? European Union didn't collapse as a result of that. Yeah, the Greeks overspent their allowance, that's for sure. But when we look at the opportunity that we have to vote with our pocketbooks, yeah, there's a lot of foods on that list or made by those companies that I use on a regular basis. But not anymore. We want to expand the organic food and farming alternatives that exist here in North America. Once it's illegal to label or market GMO-tainted foods as natural or all natural, millions of consumers will demand non-GMO alternatives, and organic and non-GMO food sales will dramatically increase. We'll hit that magic 5% tipping point. You know, we've already got a $32 billion organic food and farming industry. We can make it $50 million. You know, 10% annual growth in the organic sector is not enough to reach that tipping point that is necessary. We can't continue to hand over 90% of our consumer dollars to these out-of-control, biotech, chemically-intensive, energy-intensive, greenhouse gas-polluting corporations and profit-at-any-cost retail chains. So I won't stop going to Whole Foods. But I'll be more careful. I've only made one trip to Trader Joe's, so that's not much of an issue for me. You know, when I had that client that came in and said, Eve, you have to help me learn to read all these things on the label, and I said, well, you're buying too many things with labels. You're buying too many things with ingredient lists on them. You know, if we've got over a third of U.S. cropland already contaminated with genetically modified organisms, and mounting scientific evidence that GMOs can create birth defects and serious food allergies and even cancers. The new biotech mutants like alfalfa and ethanol-ready corn and 2,4-D-resistant crops, that's Roundup-ready crops, genetically engineered trees, genetically engineered salmon being fast-tracked with the government with absolutely no pre-market testing. The burning question for me is how quickly can we move healthy organic products from a 4.2% collection to the dominant force in American food and farming? All I want is truthful labels. You want to eat GMO foods? Have at it. You want to eat red dye number 4 and red dye number 40? Have at it. You want to eat preservatives and coloring agents and flavoring agents? Have at it. But if I want to choose not to, I want to be able to not to. The largest contributors to support yes on Proposition 37 were McCola and the Organic Consumers Fund. That's the lobbying ally of the Organic Consumers Association. Nature's Path, Lundberg Family Farms, Dr. Bronner's, Eden Foods, Organic Valley, Amy's Kitchen, Traditional Medicinals. They're all on the good guy list. Those are the ones you want to give your business to. Amy's Kitchen, Organic Valley, Eden Food, Dr. Bronner's, Lundberg Family Farms, Nature's Path. But go up on the Organic Consumers Association.org website. And on there, you will be able to find the wallet card for boycotting these organic and natural brands that we've listed several times on this show right now. You can go to orgcns.org, orgcns.org, and print down that wallet card so the next time that you go shopping, you can use the precautionary principle. You can use the precautionary principle that should have been used in California on Proposition 37. Just remember, Monsanto brought you Agent Orange and DDT. Just remember that there are benefits versus risks. And the risks aren't worth it. Now, if it's some years in the future and they find out that genetically modified organisms are just fine and they don't cause any problems at all, well, I'll be happy to sit with you and stick my fork into a genetically modified organism. But I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for that. Might have been a tough way to end the year, but a tough way to begin the year will be for you to vote with your pocketbooks, for you to realize that the life you save isn't just yours and your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors and your friends, but the life you save may be the life of this planet. And so I'm ending the year with this call to action. Please consider that you have an ability to change the world. And you have an ability to change the world with thoughtful action and thoughtful consumerism as well. I'm ending the year by being thankful and grateful that I am a part of the WSLR programmers. I'm headed off to 11 o'clock at WMNF, and I'll talk more about the fact that it's time for a boycott. It's time for us to get even.